More
makes
deal.
Us edgier.
Welcome, everybody. Thanks for giving Dumb Boys Watch Footy a listen tonight. We got a full crew today. We got PJ back in the building. We got Dinesh back in the building. TC is coming in strong and real hot with the Manchester United background. And we are now joined by Lance from Big Live Trivia. Gentlemen, how are you doing today?
Doing well.
Nice, nice.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having us.
No, it's good to hear.
Reporting live from Old Trafford, Theatre of Dreams.
Yeah, the leaky theatre itself.
Lost in the rain, you know? Yeah. Where's the water?
Where's the rain? Where are the rats, you know? But want to thank everybody again for Dumb Boys Watch Footy giving us a listen. We are steadily growing on YouTube and IG, so much appreciated for all the love and support. Give us a like and subscribe. Share us out. It's really appreciated. Now, first, now that PJ's back, we got to talk about the country that we're in right now, the U.S. men's national team. Over the weekend, it was a really, really bad game. Watching that match go 2-0 against the Republic of Korea. South Korea just came in. They stomped over the yard over the U.S. men's national team. Pochettino, now he was kind of right. We did have the gluttony of all the chances. We just didn't know how to score. Brendan Aaronson, he's still not clinical up front. It's very interesting to see that Max Tillman's not really getting much play within the squad. So, PJ, got to start with you. After watching that 2-0 loss against South Korea, are you still thinking the USA are just as good as Brazil?
I have said the USA are just as good as Brazil, in fact, slightly better. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. There's been zero positives other than getting Sergiño Dest back over the last year and change. It's just what is the worst possible thing? I mean, the fact that we don't have a goalkeeper, and that's maybe our least bad issue right now, is not a good thing. Somehow that hasn't really affected us. Song had a great goal and set up another one, but it's not looking good. We haven't had a lot of good results recently. We've only scored more than 2 goals in 1 out of the last 9 games against some pretty weak opponents. So definitely not too optimistic, and people are pissed on social media, etc.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Dinesh, TC, we'd love to hear your thoughts about the squad. I mean, right now, Pochettino, TC, you've said it many a times that we need to give this manager a chance. Now, I was calling for his head during the Gold Cup, and everybody told me I was going a little bit too far. But TC, I'll start with you. Like, what are you seeing from the squad? What are you not seeing from the squad? And how can they kind of repair this before the World Cup?
Yeah, thanks. I think as much as I want to jump down PJ's throat, like his name suggests, I think that what we have to really look at is that international teams' dysfunctionality is part of their process. This is not a phenomenon that we're not seeing across international teams. What you see is that World Cup, in a World Cup year, there's going to be a lot of dysfunction, a lot of teams, a lot of management between the teams and players. What we've seen, though, we've seen a player spat, Christian Pulisic publicly rebutting the coach's words. We've seen call-outs of a lack of commitment. So you are seeing, I think, an up-and-down team. We took 3 steps forward the last match, and now we've seen a few steps back. I don't think this is a bad thing. South Korea, no disrespect to South Korea, are a good team. Okay.
They are.
So sure, the fact that we're expecting PJ, this is like, they are a very good team. They would give any team a good run out there. So I think that what you have to remember is that this is part of the process. It's a teething process. What I did see from the game, we created chances. We had our big players back, and there was a good solidarity to some of the defense. Yes, they scored 2 goals against USA, but we created chances. That's number one. We need to be a bit more clinical, and other days we will be. So I think in that sense, there are positives that you can pick up on. I think that what we did see was no one can call out the lack of the commitment from the players that's been called out before. I think there was commitment from what we saw from the players. Was the result what we wanted? No. Are USA, Brazil, or any of the teams that are at the top? Negative. There are not.
After 10 years, maybe. Like Pochettino said, his words, not mine.
Okay, okay. Dinesh, would love for you to jump in based off of what you're hearing from TC and PJ. Like, I'm still not really feeling it with Pochettino. Him saying that he wouldn't coach, he could have went to Barcelona to coach, but he wouldn't go because he is too in tune with Espanol. And I'm just like, you please get this job right first, you know? So Dinesh, would love to hear from you on that.
All right.
So there's two things to this. Honestly, the US men's team, right? This is a friendly, right? They're qualified for the World Cup. They don't need to. These are all nonsense games, right? Let's be real, right? A lot of these games are just pointless, right? Let's be rude about this. So I don't see why this is such a big deal anyway, right? They're playing, what, Japan next, right? After this, and that's another. They're just playing friendlies until the World Cup. And secondly, didn't they actually get to the final of the CONCACAF, right? They got to the final, was that a couple of weeks ago, and just only lost to Mexico, which are a pretty decent side.
Mexico's rebuilding still.
It's always a strong team, right? This is the US. I don't know what people's expectations are of the US. Yeah.
No, go on. Yeah.
I just don't think it's that big a deal. I think it is what it is. The World Cup's coming up. USA aren't going to do that. I think the world doesn't expect the USA. Americans might think the USA might be as good as Brazil, but I don't think most Americans maybe feel that way. And then secondly, Pochettino, he's the biggest, I think, most overrated manager in the game today. I don't understand why people just love off him. He's just like, I just don't get it. Like, he's won like nothing, right? He's only won what, the French
championship. Yeah,
that's the only thing.
Results, mate. Results speak for themselves. Like he's just picking up. Results speak for themselves. I think that's. I mean,
he's won nothing. He's won nothing before.
He went to the Champions League final with the Spurs team. That's half of Arsenal now.
To the final, and it's got panned. Right, it was no game. It was a nothing game. And I think if I recall correctly, that semi final they were super lucky to even get through.
They had beat a really strong AX team, but I mean, sometimes it's luck as well. Within it to get to finals. And
wow, the way that people diminish someone's achievements to luck.
Yeah.
Wow, diminish your whole career to luck. Okay. Just like that, relegate you to luck because you're given a shitty squad. Boys, that's unfair to say to, I hear you. Okay, I'm not going to go back onto the Pochettino thing being shit, overrated. I think that's like hearsay. I think that is in the proof is in the pudding with that. Coaches are very much judged on your results. And I think that speaks for himself. I think the reason he came here is probably, to your point, exactly what the sentiment was hopefully to build a bit of that credibility. But I want to go back to another point you mentioned, which is really cool. These games, you mentioned it, and thank you for saying that. These games for USA, we've qualified already. PJ and team, we've qualified already. You said it just now as well, Eric, building phase. You said it, these are nothing games. No, they're not nothing games, but we are in a building phase where you have to try and elicit, because we don't have nothing to lose at the moment other than public fever, right? So you need to utilize as much as the squad that you want to take. You need to utilize a playing system because this is the time. You have free passes. Everyone else is doing qualifications for all kinds of things. So this is your chance to free pass it. You can lose these games, but learn so much about the team and your structure, the way you play, who plays in here. So maybe that's the takeaway.
Now, PJ, what do you think about that?
I mean, I have my thoughts, but what do you guys think we need to get rid of Pochettino, or is he on the hot seat, or what? I mean, what is your guys' opinion first before I give you mine?
He's been on the hot seat for me since he got the job.
My question I asked that though is, when he was hired in 2024 after Berhalter got fired, he got hired for one reason: for the U.S. to do well in the World Cup. So everything that's happening now sucks, but this is not why he's got hired. Like, if they found out, you know, a year ago that he'd be on this like losing streak right now, I don't know if that would have made a difference. Do you still think he's on the hot seat? Because what matters is the World Cup that we are going to be at home.
No, agreed. I'm still saying the hot seat because you have to show some results before you get to the big stage. Like, if a team doesn't have a set identity before such a large tournament, I mean, it's the biggest tournament in the world. If you don't have set identity, how can we trust you to make it out of the group stage? Like, you're on home soil, and right now people cannot trust that you're going to make it out the group stage with this good talent. But like you said, we are still not set at goalkeeper. Our defense is a little shaky. Our midfield and our build-up play is not looking very strong. Our attack is looking good, but for some, it just doesn't gel together. So that's my main point. Like, I'm just not seeing how it gels together to make us feel safe in qualifying after the group stage. That's all.
So, it's 8 months to the World Cup. So if you're going to fire somebody, it's going to be now, or you don't fire them at all. Correct. Even now, 8 months to the World Cup, it's too late, in my opinion. You've been doing all this work. Anyone who comes in, if it's not someone who already knows the system, you're setting them up to fail. That's my own opinion on that. Second of all, I think, you know, again, you are building a lot of these people. You don't look short term. Gentlemen, you got to look like cycles. And we're in a cycle of a World Cup. You said it, he was hired in 2024. So you're looking towards that. He knows his contract goes to the end of the World Cup. So he's in that cycle of long term, looking at who can do that. I think to Eric's point, it doesn't give a fuck, to be fair. Like, it already counts on the day the World Cup starts, let's be honest. Yeah. Oh, we're going to lose. The expectation might be shitty because we've lost every game. And then you fucking go and blow away Brazil the first game because you don't have an expectation. It's happened.
That'd be amazing.
A lot of teams have this really shitty lead up. And then because of that, you're working day in, day out to fix those things because you've lost all those games. What the worst thing you can do is win every single fucking game till the World Cup, think you're amazing. Every other team has been working hard to beat you because everyone's lost to you, for instance. And then you come there thinking that you have the game plan to win, and it gets defecated by, like, somebody saying your numbers are fake, okay?
That's making me feel better.
Literally, you know what I mean? And that's what will happen. So, to be fair, boys, I've always seen teams do much, much better if they have a little bit of, if they're not doing too well before the World Cup, because it means that every day they're trying to fix that. The problem is when you think that you've got it right by the time the World Cup's come, you know, so you want them to be looking at it, fixing things all the time, looking at it, working on them, structures and processes. To us on this side, as consumers, we're not on the other side, it may look like they're fucked, but trust me, every day, like now, Pochettino's working on their shit every day. So I'm hoping that, you know, what we see when they go into practice squads again, they're working on this come the World Cup because they know where it is. Trust me. This is the biggest game for all of those players. Not many players in the career get to play in a home World Cup. That's been echoed to all of them. So they know that.
Agreed. Dinesh, close us out on this topic here.
Yeah, I think, again, this is going to be used as practice runs, right? I think Pochettino, he's not known for like his expansive like football is. I mean, what identity do his teams have? So, and it's difficult at international level. Like, you've seen it with England, with Tuchel. It's really hard to do this. What I would do if I was Pochettino as international is, like, there's always those teams that capture the imagination of the world, right? I mean, Greece did it, or Europe. Greece did it in Euro, I don't know, 2004. Yeah, like, just be boring and just defend. Just get your defense solid. Just don't concede. And if you can get a goal now and again, you'll be a hero, Pochettino, on the homeland. That's what I think. Don't try anything crazy, because if you're going to continue losing, and this kind of bleeds into the World Cup, it's going to be sad. It's going to be sad for the US. I think it's going to be really, really sad if the US can't at least get a couple of nice wins out there.
Well, for sure. Can I get one quick comment?
Yeah.
My only reason for optimism, nothing on the field has been good, was looking at Morocco in 2022. In June 2022, the U.S. beat them 3-0. 2 months later, they fired their coach. And then 3 months later, the World Cup came and they made it all the way to the semifinals. Not saying that's going to happen, but I'm just trying to see some of the black hammer over there as points that, you know, maybe they will get things together, because it has happened before, and they won't be complacent. But nothing on the field is getting me excited. That just history says we do have a chance.
Yeah, I mean, the U.S. plays against Japan tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. Anything that you're really looking out for? Any players that you want to see start? Any players that you think need to be dropped? PJ, you are our U.S. men's national team correspondent. You let us know.
Yeah, I mean, the number one guy, my favorite player, I think he's just as important as Christian Pulisic. I want to see Sergiño Dest do something. He's the only player in the U.S. history who was able to take on 4 defenders at once. We've never had someone like that. So I'd like to see him maybe get an assist or something. I'd like to see Balogun start up top, because he's had a goal early with Monaco. And I would like to see more chances, because our offense is ass right now.
Yeah.
What? Wait. I ain't going to let that slide. What? Wait.
Bring it on.
Nah.
Have you seen him in the Nations League? Against Mexico, like, decent teams.
You think he's the only one? You think
Look
he's the only
Sergiño
one in the
Dest highlights. They're nice.
The USA? America has the audacity. We have the audacity to take on 11 players at once and think we can do that. But I hear you. Excuse me.
We'll see. He's nice, though. He's nice. As long as he stays
healthy. I agree he's nice. I want to, and Trivia Master, this is on you. Okay.
No.
First player to take on four players in 2025? I doubt. Landon, say something. Christian Pulisic, say something.
Hell, nah, we're good,
even
man.
Freddie Adu is going to step up and say, I'm trying to take 07.
We're good there. But I do want to quickly touch on some of the other World Cup qualifying matches that have been happening today. We had a really amazing match a little bit earlier. It just ended about 2 hours ago. Italy defeated Israel 5-4. Israel came back to make it 4-all, and Italy was able to smack them right back again to go up and win 5-4. So Italy is now kind of, but is looking good for them in their UEFA qualifying. Croatia was able to win 4-0. You had the Faroe Islands beat Gibraltar. Kosovo defeated Sweden. That's a wild one, especially with Sweden's attack and how you think they're supposed to act. So I will see. Tuesday, you have some matches also coming up within UEFA qualifying. You have Armenia versus Republic of Ireland, Ukraine, Azerbaijan, Romania, Cyprus, France v. Iceland. That should be good. You have Iceland fighting for their lives, trying to stay alive within cup qualifying. So we'll see how that goes. And then as well, Norway, Moldova. And Dinesh, do you have anything for England versus Serbia?
Yeah, tough game. That's not an easy one. The rest, I mean, honestly, these have been really boring so far anyway. Again, these qualifiers, nonsense qualifiers as well. Hopefully this will be a bit more exciting. I think we've won all of them so far, right, England? It's been like marginal. But, I mean, I saw the one on Saturday, right? That was terrible. What an awful. And now he's talking about Tuchel's talking about long throws and stuff as tactics. I mean, so, okay, we don't want to get to Arsenal yet. I know we're going to talk about Arsenal, but
this is what I've noticed, actually. You know, you took the words out of my mouth. Fuck is Thomas Tuchel doing over there, fucking with my name over there? Because he's just gone back to old school England, like 1920s ball, long balls and fucking long throw-ins. Look, maybe perhaps we've gotten too peppy to it. We've gotten too used to tiki-taka, let's say it like this, I'm too sexy, I'm too whatever. And we've forgotten some of the basics that might still work because idiots have forgotten it. There's also the school in that, how trends always make a circle back later on. You know what I mean? But Jesus, you're right. Dinesh, goodness gracious, goddamn. I don't know what this guy is doing. The football for England, and England's my team I love to watch, they're so stagnant in their play. It's slow build-up. You have all these amazing, creative, technical players who are just as technical and creative as other teams, yet it seems to have, like, and I'm not going to say this, but Mourinho-ish, you know? Even against teams which ordinarily are getting beaten 5 or 7 nils, you know what I mean? Like, you're taking 1-2 nils against them, and you're like, bruh. How can I be buying a ticket for freaking this and then I'm seeing this? I mean, I might as well just go watch Eric freaking jack off. Do you know what I mean? It's the kind of football that you need to see. Like, you really need to see. And I'm going to end on this point here because you said something earlier, Dinesh, and I was like, I wanted to say something about it, but I don't know how to say it because we all want to see flowing, creative, beautiful football. Ideally, we all want to, 100%. But you want to have to play with the players you have against the opposition you have versus with the tactics based and then create a tactic for that, which sometimes makes you a lot more pragmatic in approach. And that's why we see some coaches understand that you can't lose if no one scores against you. They set up defensively. Whereas you were saying, let USA score like this and like that. Free-flowing, it's harder to do, but you leave yourself open. So it's like that with England, which maybe that's perhaps something they've adopted. Maybe they've adopted a more pragmatic approach to be like, we can't lose the game if no one scores. So what if it's not pretty? To give you an analogy, the world champions of rugby, South Africa, Springboks, led by Siya Kolisi, they, for many years, adopted a very boring way of playing rugby, but it was winning rugby. They would win the big games, but it was boring. And there were teams that would play flowing rugby and all the world clamored for play like that. But who's holding the trophy for two World Cups back to back? Right? Mm-hmm. So there is approach in what you have. You play to your strengths, and that's part of it. Maybe that's what we're seeing from a German pragmatic coach, is he's trying to play to his strengths, which is build from the back, which is unheard of from England, and really hold through that midfield build-up. But you have Harry Kane, you've got fast players out there. It's kind of like a waste. It's like saying, let me drive a Ferrari to Eric's house and not take it on the fucking highway.
Yeah, for sure. But love to hear any of our listeners. If you guys want to chime in, we are live right now. Or you can send us over a note we do are able to respond and get back to you. So much appreciated, gents, for that lively discussion about international football. All right, we're switching gears. We now are going into our trivia section, seeing as though we brought it first when I was gone from TC and decided to partner up with a friend of mine, big friend of the show as well, Big Live Trivia. Lance, I'll let you take it away.
What's going on, y'all? So got to do a quick little intro. So the name on Instagram, YouTube now, TikTok, Snapchat, Big Live Trivia. I pretty much just do trivia questions in different sporting events or sporty type of places with my son. It's fun for us to do, but I'll be honest. I'm a Liverpool fan.
I'm a fuck.
I'm less than a casual fan, right? I'm not going to lie. Like basketball and American football, pretty much my sports of choice, but we're going to get y'all some soccer questions. I got some easy. One is easy that I knew without even looking it up. One of them's kind of hard. Then I got two medium, but I said I'll do three. But we'll see how y'all do with an easy one. All right?
All right.
So
BLT, hit us up.
Yeah, see? And you already win it, BLT. I'm going to get the...
Are we just shouting them out? Is there a buzzer here?
Oh, that's a good point.
Listen, see if you know the answer before you ask if you're going to answer the question first. Okay, there, sunshine?
Yeah,
wrong.
Everybody only gets one.
PJ, no, good question, though.
Yeah, everybody only gets one yell out. Everybody only gets one yell out.
So do we say our name? Should we say PJ if we know the answer first?
Well, I was going to say, on this app, you can't, like, raise a hand or something like that? Like
yeah, you can, actually.
Yeah, so whoever has their hand up first is what I was
going to say.
Oh, Dinesh, how'd you know? So this one's pretty easy, all right? This Uruguay striker won the Golden Ball Award.
TC.
2010.
TC. Me. Hand up.
No, it says Dem and Dinesh.
Oh, no, fuck that.
I'm on my phone. How do I do this?
Let's go. Let's go with Dem.
I said TC first. I can't raise my hand. I said my name first.
Eric.
Are we saying I'm allowed to say the answer?
I'll give it to Dinesh. I'll concede.
All right, Dinesh, he's the first.
Yeah, boy. Diego Forlan, right?
For sure. Yeah.
That's bullshit. Fuck that. I said, no, we got to say names. I can't raise my hand.
You
fuck
really that. Can't?
I'm not losing to no Liverpool fucking fame terms.
Okay, all right. If you can't do it, all right, I'll skip over this harder one and I'll go to.
No, straight to the harder one. Not this Liverpool favoritism.
I got to scale it up. All right. Who's the youngest player in Premier League history to score 20 goals in a single season?
TC.
All right, I heard TC first. He actually said
that one before. Right? Yep.
Ooh, this is going to be tricky. I'm going to go with the Liverpool player, Michael Owen.
No.
Ooh, I thought it was that. I thought it was Michael Owen.
Ooh. Yeah, I love that. Okay. This one I thought it was me. Okay, let's go. PJ?
Is it Haaland?
No. It's not. Okay, here's a hint.
Okay.
He was 19 when he did it.
Okay,
You've already had yours. You only get one.
It should be Eric now, yeah, just going around the room.
He didn't. Yeah, I'm going to go with Ian Wright.
Damn. No, that's not it either.
Okay, I'm going to say Robbie Fowler, but if it's not, then it's...
It's Robbie Fowler. Yeah, that's correct. I was going to give another hint.
No way. I was going to say Robbie Fowler or Wayne Rooney. I was going to say, I thought it was Wayne Rooney maybe, but...
No, fuck this Liverpool.
Nah, you only get one.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that one I had as a medium. I could do another medium or I could do a hard.
Nah, let's keep it going.
That one was challenging, I think.
We'll do another medium.
Yeah, let's do another medium.
All right, this striker is technically third all-time in U.S. men's national team goal scored.
Shit.
I'll give a clue.
My God, first and second are very obvious.
Wait, yeah? Don't give a clue.
Don't
give a clue. Well, don't give a clue first.
PJ almost said the clue, but it's the fact that the first two are tied. So that's why this guy's technically third. You may think of him as second.
I should know that.
The first two are tied. And this one, I'm going to be honest.
Wait.
I'll guess this. I think I know.
Okay.
PJ, you got the hand up.
Pulisic.
What? Is Clint Dempsey?
All right, PJ, you're out.
No.
TC.
Clint Dempsey.
Say it again.
Clint Dempsey.
No. So, no. But this guy, no. It's not Clint Dempsey.
Shit. I know. Okay. Anyone else?
Wait, Dinesh or
I'm going to go with Zardes.
Go there, Eric. You go.
You did not just say that.
No. Dinesh is going to get it now.
Wait, is it Claudia Reyna?
No.
Or Landon Donovan.
Okay. Now it's my turn.
Wait. I thought it went back to PJ.
Yeah. Is it Jose Altidore?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is. So Landon Donovan and Clint Dempsey are one and two.
Second by turn.
I wouldn't have got that well done.
I got one or 2 points. I don't know.
I would.
Nah, that was
a medium. So this other one is hard. This other one for sure. I don't know who this footballer is.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Wait, before you finish, I was going to say, Lance, before you finish, want to thank you again for joining us. Hopefully we can get this as a recurring segment. Once every two, once every three.
It's getting heated here.
Yeah.
I would like to keep a running tally. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, we need to keep a running tally of how this goes. So. Yeah. Lance.
All scores are final. Late.
Yeah. What's the score, Lance?
0-0. We're starting again. He said he wanted to start again because
the Dinesh has two.
It's Dinesh two.
No, people. This is how I feel. Oh my God. This is how it feels to be a Man United fan with VAR.
All right, Lance.
This is the last one, and I'm not going to read the answer, right?
And it's the winner gets all 5 points.
Well, I mean, the winner can be, sir. Yeah, we'll say the winner who gets everything.
Winner gets all. Last call wins.
So, you got to listen to the clue, because I give hints in the question. Who is the Scottish forward who is third all-time on Man U all-time goal scorer list? Manchester United, third all-time goal scorer.
Any Scottish.
Scottish forward.
Forward?
That's it. That's it.
Did you say forward?
I'm not going to say the answer. Scottish forward, correct. He's a forward.
Can I say it?
Wait, we got to defer
to Eric.
Oh, Eric,
I just needed that for the clip. That for the clip. Now you got a clip.
Okay, yeah. Now we'll say first TC. He's always saying
Darren Fletcher.
No.
What?
No. Dinesh has his hand raised. Dinesh.
Think this is Dennis Law?
Yes, Dinesh is that guy. Yes.
That was nice.
Bravo. TC, you don't even know your squad, man.
I know.
Yeah, we can't even see you.
That's what you get for shitting on the US, TC. You're in last place.
I'm tied with them, but
I'm wrong to the bad name, I think.
Well, it's quite clear. There's obviously some, I'd like to see an unbiased. He literally came in and said, I support the same team as Dinesh and we're mates. So that's like saying, hey, I'm going to fire everyone who knows their job and get people who are my mates and get my narrative to push down.
It's okay. All right. Lance will definitely come back again. We'll definitely have Big Loud Trivia with us. And I hope all of the listeners are going to enjoy as well when they listen on the podcast. So Lance, much appreciated coming on. If you if you want to plug anything else or replug, here's your chance.
I'll always plug again. So subscribe to Big Live Trivia. It's actually Big Live Trivia on YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok. It's Richmond, RICHMOND _BLT. And then you'll see our logo. It looks like a BLT sandwich, of course, standing for Big Live Trivia or Big Lance Trivia. And Richmond is just the city in Virginia that I'm from. So Richmond _BLT. But we're thinking global, not local. So it may change, but right now it's Richmond _BLT.
Follow.
Yeah,
quick question, BLT. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Just a question from me for some trivia.
Let's go.
Is it true that there was the first segregated school undefeated from your town?
Maybe. It was the capital of the Confederacy. So lot of history.
I think you're about remember the Titans.
T.C. Williams is from Richmond.
No. That's not actually Richmond, Virginia. That school's from Northern Virginia.
Ooh.
They said that for the movie, probably. But T.C. Williams is in it's not Woodbridge or somewhere like that. It's like DMV, Virginia, not Richmond, Virginia.
Wow, TT, you're getting owned by the trivia master. So
yeah,
you
know that's not really. You know what? You.
I'm just gonna say that's good because I'm warming up to the World Cup like USA, so I'm getting it wrong for the next one. Okay.
Shout out to TJ. Shout out to Dinesh.
Yeah, all right, y'all. Dinesh is up 3-1. So next time he's on, we'll know.
Cheers.
Appreciate
Thanks for having
it.
Me.
All right, gents, much appreciated for that segment. It's going to be a good time for the rest of the show. Now, let us get into our Premier League predictions. Also, really big, hot off the press news. Nuno Espirito Santo, he's set to leave Nottingham Forest. He's being relieved of his duties after him and the owner, Marinakis, the Greek owner, they have been fighting in a war of words. And the former director of operations, of football operations for Arsenal, Edu, and him had actually came to sparring blows within a closed session. So, gents, how do you think things are going to kind of transpire? Because we have Nottingham Forest, Arsenal versus Nottingham Forest this Saturday. That's the first game. I wonder, how do you guys think that match is going to go? Dinesh, let's start with you.
Oof, yeah, I didn't realize. I just looked. Hot. That is like half the press. So,
yeah.
I mean,
3 games into the season.
Whoa. Yeah.
They had an issue at the end of last season. Nuno and Marinakis were fighting on the pitch. We actually brought this one up, so it's going to be very fun to bring some of that footage back into our lexicon. But they were fighting on the pitch at the very end because Marinakis really wanted Champions League football. Because he also owns Olympiacos, and so Olympiacos is also fighting to get in, and he just wants that extra cash. And some of the things that you see with Marinakis is very Suge Knight-esque, as we like to say.
Suge Knight-esque.
Yeah, but Dinesh, we'd love to see your thoughts, what you think.
This is super interesting. I'd say he's a good coach. Like, you know, I think solid. Did well for them last season.
First time they had Champions League football. Well, European football in 30 years.
Almost Champions League. I was gutted that they didn't get it in the end. But yeah, I mean, I suppose it's good for you guys also now in a bit of disarray. I bet you guys are licking your lips now with that news. But having said that, I mean, it looks like Ange might be about Ange Ball. Could be coming to Nottingham Forest. Apparently, he's a contender.
Wow.
So that
really
is
going to be free-flowing football, huh?
That's going to be interesting. Pure chaos. but I think they've got a good team there, right?
They have a very solid defense.
Yeah, they got rid of Elanga, right? And they managed to keep in midfield. Right, Gibson, right?
Gibbs White.
So, and they're decent. And how have the first couple of games been? Have they been all right? I think they've
They got four points.
Yeah, they have 4 points.
It's not terrible.
Recently lost, though, to West Ham 3-0. So that might have been the nail in the coffin for them.
I think it's good for you guys. I think it'd be interesting to see if Ange Ball comes back and see what they've got, a decent team. But I don't expect them to go down.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that's just a man, an owner who's a fucking way too ambitious for his boots and should be grateful for what the fuck his coach has done for him, okay? Like with the squad that he's given. He's done exceptionally fucking well. And how dare you, to be fair, Nottingham Forest have won double Champions Leagues than Arsenal have. Let's just get that out there, okay?
You're not wrong.
Nottingham Forest have won back-to-back Champions
League. European Cups, not Champions League.
Whoa.
As we know it.
Eric, don't do semantics and diminish one because they changed the name of a competition due to someone wanting to sponsor it for Heineken's reasons. Don't do that, my friend. It's called the European Cup.
Arsenal won a championship just as well, but they changed the name.
They've never won a European Cup, my friend. Do not.
They have. They've won two.
A what?
They've won two.
Arsenal?
Yes.
Like a dick, man. Okay, Arsenal have never won. Have never.
Yes, they have. They've won two: the Intercities Fairs Cup and the UEFA Cup Winners' Cup.
Okay,
we need a penalty for misinformation at some point.
Eric, I love you. The fact that you are trying to Donald Trump the shit out of us here by telling the viewers live that Arsenal have won a European Cup.
We won one.
Mate, don't do this.
That was before my
Arsenal fan all over, man. I'm like watching Arsenal fan TV or something. This is mad. This like represents delusional Arsenal fans.
Mate, he's literally telling us that they've won a year. I don't care. From 1900. You go look, they've got a graphic where they see every club that's won it.
Yeah. Completely agree.
My bad.
Dinesh, you're a Liverpool fan?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good team to be a fan of. That's fair.
Right now, yeah. Right now, for sure. I had my dark days, trust me, when...
Yeah, not as dark as ours. Not as dark as ours.
Yeah, yeah. There was a period there when you had Andy Carroll and Ben Ayoun as your fucking main strike force.
Joe Cole being as good as Messi, apparently, as well, Stephen G said.
Yeah, that was good
Yeah. We had some dark
times. I mean, second.
Even during that period, you won more fucking Champions League cups than this guy is claiming or has.
Very much so. Very much so. Very much so.
But Eric, honestly, dude, while we're sitting here, please can you just use Google something so we can just look at your face? I want to see this, honestly. Like, I can't let you go to believe that an Arsenal fan here, guys.
Bro,
put it in the comments
facetious.
For us.
I was being facetious with that. Come on now.
Okay. I couldn't tell from the tone, but now I can. And now I'm glad to become too. Anyway, on to you.
No, I'm going to say I'm a little worried about this match because. It is a wounded team, but Nottingham Forest is still a very stout team. Arsenal has just lost. We just confirmed that Saliba is going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks at least. Saka's still not healthy. We have some other injuries that we're dealing with. Players are coming back from international who have played the entire time. Mikel Merino actually scored a hat trick against Turkey, and we can't get him to do anything in the midfield for us. Productively.
That team should cook, man. I'm sorry. There's no excuses here. You've got like two players for each position and good players.
Yeah.
Like who can play? None of this like dark art stuff. There's no need for dark arts. And then you get battered by like the comment. We played trash. Like Liverpool played like trash against. I thought we were gonna get killed. We were there for the taking. We were like a dead dog.
Completely agree.
Yeah, you just got killed by like a moment of genius by Thomas. That was like weird.
Yes, Queen. Yes, Queen. Tell him, Queen. Tell him, Queen. Tell him, Queen. Tell him. Tell all of them.
Arteta deserves it, man, for his all negative play. I'm glad, like, Peter Schmeichel said it perfectly. He was like, I'm so glad, like, Liverpool won that game. And you call me that from a former Man United player because those tactics are just awful, man.
But Dinesh, to their fair. No. Whoa. Dinesh, fuck you. Because Liverpool, we are not going to play expansive football when I play you. We're going to do the exact same thing. Close the butthole up, okay? We're going to do that because you have to do that. No offense, boys, but it's football. You play to your strengths and the team's fucking... Your team's obviously got top heavy. You can't just decide, hey, we're going to go open up. If I open up my legs, my man, it'll be going to be like running down the street of Bangkok. So I get that you feel that they did that, but they had to do that, and I don't blame them for that. What I do blame is...
Well. Liverpool weren't playing well that game. We were
fair. And they were there for the taking. That's fair. It was early in the season. Watch the return game is going to be different. The return game is going to be very different. Let me say this. So for that, I don't blame them for doing that because I'll do the same to you. I'm going to close shop up. But for you to complain about being out and then having spent both of you guys should not... You know what? If both of you complain once this season, okay, talking to the poor man, okay, it is going to be like the big bill. It's going to be like... You guys are telling me that I must tighten up my belt, but you guys spend four, whatever it was, and then you don't have players? Shut the fuck up. You bought enough players for that, so did you. So that's not going to be an excuse this year, not at all.
That's got to be the last time we talk about anything political, because last time we did that, we actually got demonetized.
That was not political. I was talking about the Buffalo Bills.
Okay. All right. Good to hear from that. Last time, if our viewers didn't notice... one of our episodes actually got pulled until I had updated it because...
What?
Yeah.
We're being censored. We're being censored.
Yeah, Google is censoring a lot of different things. Want to be mindful, but also want to have some fun with it. But I'm going to go with a 3-0 win, Arsenal over Nottingham Forest. It's the early match of the Saturday game, so should be really good. They're going to have a new coach in. We'll see. They're going to have an interim coach in, so we'll see what happens. Dinesh, TC, PJ... We'd love to hear your thoughts on the match.
Dinesh, please go ahead.
I think it's going to... Oh, sorry. I think it's going to be 3-1. And rightly so, Arsenal need another strong win, man. This is their season. They've got to do something, man. There's too many times they finished second.
It's our season with Isak going to Liverpool. Love it. TC, what's your prediction?
I agree with Dinesh. I think that you will see a response from Arsenal. 3-0 is a bit ambitious. I think that with what's happening with Nottingham, you might see just as well impetus from them as well. So I'm going to go for a bit of a, let's go shake it up a bit. A bit of a 2-1 to Arsenal.
All right, PJ, close this out.
All right, yeah, I'm going to say Forest is going to pull the upset here. They're going to be reinvigorated, the loss of their coach, and I just want to piss you guys off because you were shitting on the U.S. national team. I asked this question a few weeks ago. It's a little unfair the season started, but Dinesh, while we have you, well, I know you're a Liverpool fan. I was asking everyone else this. My prediction was City. That's looking pretty bad right now. Are you predicting Liverpool to win the league this year?
No, I think we've started off well.
Really?
Do it twice in a row? I don't think so. I'm going conservative. I mean, it would be incredible if we did two seasons in a row. And I know we've got Isak.
They're in first place right now. Three games, but...
Right now, it's three games in. I think either Chelsea or Arsenal, they really should. Arsenal, if they don't win the league this time, Arteta's got to be gone. But this is the season. They've got to do it. They've not started well. They've got to turn this around.
Right, they've got to win a trophy. Let's just start there. They've got to win a trophy. Yeah.
I mean, he has to win the league, I think.
They've got to win something, dude. Forget about it. They've got to win something. They haven't won anything in fucking Tottenham yet.
Arsenal, I think they have to. I think this season, I think I'd go for Arsenal. I think Chelsea will be roundabout. So I'm really having struggle between Arsenal and Chelsea. Look, that squad is incredible. Chelsea as well. I've got incredible.
Group. Yeah.
It's about time that they perform. And they've got the right coach now to perform really, pretty well.
Okay. Other big matchup of the weekend, Manchester United versus Manchester City. Like PJ said, Man City, his pick right now to win the league is looking dry. That squad is not looking well, especially after that loss to Brighton. So, TC, what do you think Manchester United is going to do? Before you go, I always believe that Manchester United just plays up to their competition and sometimes they play too down to their competition. So I think Amorim is going to have the squad ready. I think the way this is going to be set up, especially tactically, of how Amorim likes to do things, it's going to look pretty good against that slow, pragmatic, ticky-tack approach that Man City is currently deploying, especially because they need to feed the ball into Haaland to create any magic right now. So I'll give Man United the upset right now. TC, what are your thoughts?
I knew you were going to jinx my team. I fucking knew it. Jinx me, you did. You just jinxed me. You did it on purpose, didn't you? But I think Arsenal's going to win the league.
I would love it.
And I think, look, Eric, and I appreciate that positive sentiment. I want to be like you, brother. I really do. I honestly, I want to echo the same words that you've done because those are beautiful words that shows, hope and faith, what, the Lord has blessed us to have.
Okay. It's all right.
I can't even tell. I can't say the score, but I'm not going to, that just shows you no offense, it's not going to be what I believe the opposite of what you've just said.
Okay.
I think the City have also been in a bit of a place that they're playing at home. There's going to be impetus on them. They have to do exactly what we've just said about teams that have just lost. They're one of those teams that have to show that they're here to be serious. And currently, if you're losing to Man City at home, to Man United at home, it's kind of like, what the fuck are you doing? You know what I mean? Let's be honest, boys. If you are losing to Man United at home, come on, man. Come on. Let's be honest. Come on. Come on. When we win, we'll go crazy because we don't expect that shit. And that tells you where, we are underdogs here. If we beat any of you guys, I'm telling you now, you suck. You suck. You suck. And that's me loving my team to life. I love them. I'll be a realist. I'm a realist. I'm a realist. If you lose to us, you suck.
Okay. Dinesh, thought there.
Yeah, I initially thought this might be a draw, but actually thinking about it, Man City are due an absolute beating of a team.
Yeah.
So I think, and they're not, this is Man City, Pep's Man City.
Don't wish that on me, please.
Let's forget. And this might be the game which they really just get revenge. I think this is going to be like a 6-1 or something crazy. Haaland getting a hat trick. I think that Reinders guy, right? Is it Reinders? On that first game
AC
against
Milan,
he was looking sharp, man. I was like, why didn't Liverpool look at him?
He did come back to earth, though. And that first game was against Wolves.
It was, but you can see class when you see, you know.
All right, I'm going to have to say this.
Yeah, he said 6-1.
I'm saying the defender, got to remember, the defenders that right now for Manchester City on the wings, both came from Wolves. And they're not looking the strongest right now on their wings. That's all I got to say.
But this is United right now, and they're in complete disarray, man. There could be they're only just...
Hey, Nash, easy up there, son. Okay, why are we letting the Oaks... Why is this guy talking about... No one let me talk about Liverpool. Why is he talking about Man United?
They get it.
I can hear his venom in his voice, man. Listen to this. And this is just so, I can say that. Honest, he can't say that.
He's giving a very good take right now.
He's a fighting words, Eric. I want to fight for some reason. I can say, send me a text of what you want me to say, what you feel.
You gotta let him finish it. You gotta let
him. I know. Okay, I'll keep quiet. But send me a text and I'll say the things that you want to say. Because that's mean, man. I want to fight now. Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Dinesh.
Just being honest, man. Just being honest. I think they do want Man City. And it's sad, man. I want to see Man United be competitive. I remember those days. It's just right now, it's a mess. Absolute mess.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, one thing that I'm sure TC is a little bit happy about, Andre Onana, he's now going to Trabzonspor over in Turkey. So you no longer have that excuse of your goalie not doing well. We're going to see how this new goalie from, Brussels?
Belgium, yeah.
We'll see how he fights with Bayern Deer. I'm surprised Tom Heaton doesn't get a look at in that squad. So, yeah, we'll kind of see what happens. But TC, do you want to rebut to what Dinesh said?
No, look, as much as I want to stab Dinesh in the neck and then kick him through a window.
Don't get us taken down here.
I would never resort to violence because I believe in loving thy neighbor. You know what I mean? But really, in all honesty, I think that, 6-1 is a bit of a muchness there. Thank you, Dinesh. And we're going to push that stuff away from any sort of manifestation, my mate. Almost like I would never say, I hope, Liverpool's bus breaks down before their match and they have to forfeit and win 3 points, you know? I would never say that.
I hope that. I just think that's going to happen. They do one. And it could be you
but
guys.
I get that, but that's aggressive 6-1. I mean, this has happened to us before. I mean, you don't hear me going, oh, they're going to lose 8-2.
I don't think this necessarily. I mean, I guess I'll find it funny, but I won't be overjoyed by this because, ultimately Man City have got a crushing win. I don't really want them to do amazing.
No, fair enough. I think you hit that. Look, I think in short, my expectation is for a rather pragmatic game like you saw with Arsenal. I don't think we're going to be expansive. I think we're going to be, so don't expect a lot of goals because it's going to be like 5 at the back, right? And then flooding that midfield and then hang on the counter. So that's kind of what I'm expecting.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, who do you guys think is going to step up for City next to Haaland offensively? They lost De Bruyne last year. They got maybe the best goalkeeper in the world. So they need someone else because he has 60% of their goals right now. Who do you guys see as that person to help Haaland up top and create and score?
That guy Marmoush needs to start doing more.
The Egyptian guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just scored in World Cup qualifying alongside Mo Salah. So he was bought in January to kind of turn around their fortunes. He did for a little bit, but it's time for him to do it, you know?
Great point. Sorry, PJ. With the goalkeeper, I've completely forgot about that. Donnarumma, they just got Donnarumma, right, as well?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. That guy's I think he's if not the best goalkeeper in the world. His stats, though, for some reason, I'm a bit baffled by why he was no one wanted him or so, or PSG got rid of him. I know that not so good with his feet or something, but
money.
He's a money. Monster. I've seen him play every time he plays Italy. I think he's our nemesis for England. Even if he got them the penalty shootout right against Liverpool. So he's just an absolute monster. So that's another good point why Man City might not concede as much because they've got a really top class goalkeeper now. I don't know why Man United. He would have been.
We both have top class keepers. Why don't you say mine's a top class keeper?
I don't know.
You forget about that. You don't know what. You don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, hey! You cannot argue with logic, Dinesh. Do not do that. Do not argue with fucking logic. You will be wrong every time in Man United. You will be wrong. I don't fucking know. Why would you want to go for someone who's proven in the Premier League, a bit of a cunt? Perfect for what we need at the moment.
He's like a Man
but
United.
Who's proven in the Premier League versus someone who isn't.
Perfect for Man United. He would have been perfect. Yeah.
So I think it's a bit of both. I think there was a bit of maybe it was a pricing issue over structure in terms of wages. Martinez is a World Cup winner, you know what I mean? That kind of demands. And unfortunately, he thought it was going to happen. So I feel like such a dick now because I know
Marco
we won't score against him. He was waiting to go.
Result. All right. We got to move on. We got Liverpool versus Burnley. Dinesh, what are your thoughts?
Tough game, yeah. Honestly, every time after an international break, I wouldn't be surprised if we tied this. Isak is just Wirtz hasn't quite hit his form yet. We've not been playing well so far as well. So you can't continue to play this bad and win from a moment, you know, just a moment of class and luck. So this might be kind of, and it's away as well. Burnley away, you know, it's a bit of a rough place to
Turf
go.
Moor, Scott Parker's got the squad humming, but that 5-4-1 is not doing what it needs to do.
Yeah, I think we either edge it again. I'd love for us to have a battering win. I can't remember the last time we had like a 4-0 win, a comfortable win. But I really think this might be like, we might just about edge it, or it'll be, we might, this might be the one that means that it's a draw and hopefully to kick up the backside and be like, guys,
for sure,
we need to, we DC. Can't rely on these moments of genius.
Blackhammer is gone. A PJ, what you got?
For Liverpool or which game?
Yeah, Liverpool versus Burnley.
I mean, Liverpool's off to a good start. I have to say Liverpool, and they're proven wrong. They're undefeated on the season. They were the best team in the EPL last year. There's no reason to go against the grain right now. I mean, Burnley's a fine team. They're a mid-table club, right? They've got to prove me that they are gonna lose a game like this.
Yeah, okay. All right, we'll see. The last match that we want to preview will be West Ham versus Tottenham. This is a big one because Tottenham just decided to, by mutual depart, is Daniel Levy. He left the club. He brought them great commercial success. He got them. He also was between their first two trophies within the last 17 years, the Europa this past season, as well as the FA Cup 14 years ago. So, it's a lot of memories. He did say to fans, like, before he left, he's like, you guys are going to miss me when I'm gone. And I think we just need a lot more time in between before people really get to see it. Because Tottenham, you got to remember, they weren't getting as much love as Arsenal or West Ham. West Ham got the stadium over them. He was able to build Tottenham a new stadium. So it's a really big commercial development, but his shrewdness with the transfer market always made it very hard for people to really trust him as a director of football. He should have stayed within his lane, but he did what he needed to do. Tottenham is in a very strong financial place and a strong squad space because of him. So we'll see what the neighbors 2 and 3 and 4, how they do over there. But Dinesh, I want to hear what you think about this West Ham versus Tottenham match.
Well, this is exciting. You know, Mohamed Kudus, one of my favorite players that I like a lot, and I think that, you know, he was a great buy. I think he could be one of the buys of the season if he can just add that consistency that he had from his first season. He's gonna cook there. Like, he is, like, he reminds me of like a left. He reminds me of like a bit like Sadio Mane, the athleticism, but on, you know, having a left foot. I think he would have been an excellent understudy for Mohamed Salah. I think he's a little old. He's what, 25, right? So it's a bit. Liverpool don't generally do that. You know, Arsenal can do it somehow. They've got Madueke and Saka, right? Perfect. Two really good players for each position. We don't quite have that with a left footer, but I would have loved Mohamed Kudus. He's great. Thomas Frank, a great selection as well as a coach. Levy selected him right just before he left. So, you know, I guess that's another point I'd say. Arguably got him from United. I think he would have been I think United just needs someone to side the ship, and Frank would have been, I think, a great choice for them. But yeah, I see Tottenham being in the top eight. With regards to this particular game, West Ham have just, what, they just beat
3-0.
Yeah, 3-0, right? 3-0. So they're coming off a terrible start, but then coming back. Tottenham have just lost, right? They just lost their last game,
they
right?
Just lost Bournemouth, the Cherries.
I'm gonna go in the middle and say this is an entertaining 2-2.
Okay, awesome. TC.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting game. I think Tottenham will go 3-0.
Okay, cool. PJ, any other thought?
Well, they lost their man Song to Major League Soccer, but they've only conceded once this year, and they have got a lot to prove after barely escaping relegation. Can you imagine if Tottenham got relegated? They barely escaped relegation. They got a lot to prove. So I don't have a bone in this match, but I'll go Spurs 1-0.
Okay, awesome. Thank you all again for giving your predictions. And I want to thank all of our listeners today. It's Dem Boys Watch Footy. Thank you again to all of the people that have joined us today. PJ, Dinesh, TC. I want to also thank Lance with BLT Trivia. This is your boy E. Y'all have a great one.
Thanks. Thanks.
E, I have a question for you.